she asked. "I was informed that you had been attacked, but not who did it." Stavin shook his head. "Some fool of a priest named Delhorse, that arrogant ass," Lady Serana snarled. "Sylvana has to do something about him now." Stavin laughed, startling her. "Yes, bury him. He thought his mage could overcome the dragon magic of my armor. If a black adept of Eshokanal..." Stavin's voice failed, as the light around them intensified to a blinding intensity. "Let the light of Arendar the Bright shield you from evil," Lady Serana intoned, "and let the love of the gods above fill your soul." Lady Serana turned towards Stavin as the light faded. "Never speak the name of any of the gods below, young man, and especially not that one," she scolded. Stavin was still gulping in fear as he said, "That's never happened before," in a husky voice that trembled like his shaking hands. Lady Serana seemed to loom over Stavin. "We actively worship the gods above here, Prince Stavin. We do not name the gods below. However, for Arendar's light to have reacted to you like that, there has to have been something more." Varric and his team came running up to Stavin's side, and Varric demanded, "What was that?" "It's all right, Var. You'd think by now I'd have learned to watch my mouth." Stavin turned and bowed deeply to Lady Serana. "My apologies, Lady Serana. My encounter with the priests of the evilest one is not common knowledge." "I have not heard of it, and I've made quite a study of you. Given the reaction you just provoked, I think a visit to Arendar's temple and his high priest might be in order." She fixed Stavin with a look that reminded him of Grandma Alyssa's glare when he'd been misbehaving in the nursery. Stavin bowed deeply and said, "Yes, Lady Serana." Lady Serana regained her composure with a visible effort. "My apologies, Prince Stavin. Please tell me of your encounter with the evilest one's priests." Stavin thought for a moment, then began. "During my second expedition, we stopped in a small village called Ormund. We had no idea that a priest of the evilest one had taken over the town and made himself the mayor. All we knew was that the people were quiet and depressed. Late our second night I was on guard and felt a massive wave of fatigue wash over me. I was able to shake it off and continue on patrol, but in a few moments I realized that the other three night guards were down. Then I saw four men in black robes." He paused and wet his lips before continuing. "I listened in, and when they said they were going to kill us all, I attacked." Stavin was calmer now and shrugged one shoulder. "The leader hit me with several mage bolts, but all they did was slow me down a little. When they were all dead, and I made sure by stabbing all four through the heart and beheading them, I went and woke everyone up. The only thing that worked was splashing water in their faces." He grinned up at her. "Everyone was pretty upset with me until they found out why." Lady Serana smiled as she said, "I imagine they were. Please continue." "We found four amulets with the evilest one's glyph on them. They were so old and powerful that even wrapped in leather and buried in a cask of salt, they were still able to feed off me and the mule." Stavin shook his head sadly. "In Palavad, Adept Sharindis used Arendar's light to cleanse the amulets." Stavin paused and whispered the rest. "And then demanded I kill her as payment. She had cast a spell for eternal life upon herself. She was over 200 years old, and couldn't die even though time had ravaged her body." He took another long, shuddering breath as he studied the floor. "At the end of the season I had the amulets melted and remade into amulets for my family." Lady Serana was silent for a few moments before saying, "You must be a truly extraordinary young man, Prince Stavin. Above and beyond everything else I've heard about you, That you survived at all is amazing. The elder gods can swat aside the magic of a dragon without any effort. That you suffered such contact and weren't taken over is almost beyond belief.
Stavin nodded.
I had a lot of nightmares during that time. Dreams of conquest, dreams of a new empire, dreams of sacrificing to them. It was horrible, and I spent half of each day in a daze of exhaustion. My mule and I also lost a lot of weight,
he said with a grin.
But we recovered once the amulets were neutralized.
Lady Serana had been nodding slowly as Stavin spoke.
You truly are an extraordinary young man, Prince Stavin. What you just described is why Arendar reacted to you as he did. The evilest one touched you and left some taint on your soul.
Stavin was quiet for a moment. Then his gaze fell to the floor again as he whispered,
I was afraid of that.
Lady Serana chuckled, startling him into looking up at her again.
If you weren't afraid of it, it would have consumed you. If, for even one instant, you had welcomed the images in your dreams, you would have been lost, dragon scale armor and all.
She looked him in the eye again.
If you had been taken by him, what do you think would have happened when you took up the sword of Zelhallen?
Stavin was looking at the floor once again as he whispered,
I never would have let it go.
Lady Serana's smile turned tender as she put a finger under his chin so she could look Stavin in the eye.
I have read your own account of the events leading up to the last time you took up the sword of Zelhallen and received those golden eyes. That you were able and willing to send the sword away is no less remarkable than resisting the evilest one.
A butler led Karvik into the room. He gave Stavin a critical look and asked, Are you all right, Prince Stavin?
Yes, Kar, I'm fine. I just said the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong place.
Imagine that,
Karvik commented sourly. Lady Serana glared at Karvik and snapped,
You should remember your place.
Stavin grinned as he stepped between them.
Lady Serana, this is Major Karvik Kalkarin. He's been putting up with me and my antics since our last year in the academy. Most of the stories about me are about him as well. He missed earning his first star in our first expedition by just 3 kills. He was also at my side, supporting me as much as he could while I carried those amulets.
Lady Serana's eyes had widened as Stavin spoke, and she addressed Karvik in a much more controlled tone when she said,
So you're the one?
Lady? Karvik asked, as his head tilted to the side.
Ulrich to his Delvan, Landar to his Beldak. In every story of our historical heroes, the true ones at least, there has been someone at his back, one true friend who is always there for him. I had wondered who Prince Stephen's second was. He saved my life more than once, including the first fight we were in.
And you saved mine just as many times,
Karvik replied with a grin.
We can discuss this later, and please rest assured that we will,
Lady Serana said, as the two friends grinned.
For now, let me get you settled. I didn't see any servants, so I'll have Aaron tend to you.
She motioned to the butler who had escorted Karvik. Stavin nodded to Aaron, and then turned to Lady Serana and bowed.
I thank you for your hospitality, Lady Serana. Major Kalkarin will be posting his men on guard 11 at a time, and I beg your indulgence in this matter.
He grimaced slightly.
King Kaelin delivered those orders personally, and I can't countermand them.
Lady Serana actually chuckled.
I understand, Prince Stavin. I've had royal guests before.
Stavin bowed again, then followed Aaron out of the room and up several flights of stairs. On the manor house's third floor, Aaron led him to a door guarded by 2 Aniston guardsmen and 4 servants. Once they had entered the room, Aaron turned and bowed to Stavin again.
Prince Stavin, please allow me to introduce my staff. Valet Allen, Valet Auden, Apprentice Valet Maldar, and Apprentice Valet Dorvan, all of one branch or another of Housefell Aniston.
Stavin bowed his head slightly. I really don't have that much for you to do, he said as he looked at them. My travelling wardrobe consists of just 3 shirts and pants that I have been mixing and matching.
Stavin looked at Karvik and said, Major Kilcarin, take one of the apprentices to retrieve my saddlebags, and lead the guards back up here.
Karvik bowed and tapped Dorvan on the shoulder as he left. Stavin smiled and said,
Butler Aaron, I didn't mention it to Lady Serana, but my men are going to need quarters for the duration of our stay, and I would like to know the status of my wounded men. Will you see to that for me?
Aaron bowed deeply and said, At once, Prince Stavin. Then left. Stavin turned to the valets and said,
I guess the first order of business is going to be a bath. Lady Serana didn't see anything, but she only came near me once after we came in sight.
The two valets exchanged a glance. Then Auden said,
As you wish, Prince Stephen. Mal, draw a bath. It is my understanding that Prince Stephen prefers very hot baths.
He glanced at Stephen and received a nod of approval. Maldar didn't need any further instructions and left immediately. Valet Allen had stepped forward and said,
Let us help you with your armour, Prince Stephen.
Stephen nodded and stood with his arms slightly raised. Valet Auden joined in, and the two of them quickly stripped him to the skin. Auden paused at one point and caressed one of Stavin's thigh guards. He flushed with embarrassment when he saw Stavin watching him, but Stavin just smiled.
Don't be embarrassed, Valet Auden. I've had people beg me for the honor of touching this armor.
Valet Auden bowed deeply before replying,
It is indeed an honor, Prince Stephen. This is truly an honor. Your forgiveness,
he murmured as he wiped his eyes.
I never thought to be granted such an honor in my lifetime.
Stavin smiled at the valet's reaction.
I've never denied anyone who asked, though in truth few have. My valet back in Twin Bridges is just glad he doesn't have to clean it.
Both Allen and Auden looked up at him curiously, so he explained.
Nothing will stick to it, not even pine sap.
He picked up his arm guard.
That's why my honours are painted on this. The paint won't stick either. About the only thing that needs to be cleaned is the underpadding, but a quick rinse in hot water usually does the trick.
Apprentice Maldar opened the door to the bathing room just then, and Stavin headed toward him. Both valets followed close on his heels. Stavin sighed, but didn't try to keep the men from doing their jobs, as the valets bathed him. Chapter 4 Stavin was clean, and the valets were discussing which hairstyle would be most flattering, when Karvik returned with Dorvan. Stavin asked,
Which team did you bring?
Mine, Karvik answered. That healer adept is good. Everyone is completely fit for duty.
Good. Dorvan, Maldar, tend to Major Kelkaran's bath and hair, while Auden and Allen finished mine.
All four of the valets looked at Stavin, then Allen said,
As you command, Prince Stephen.
Karvik gave Stavin an arch look, then allowed the servants to help him out of his armour. Stavin grinned as he listened, then led Auden and Allen out into the main suite. Aaron met them there.
We were just about to trim Prince Stephen's hair, Auden said as he bowed to his master.
I will see to that. You see to his boots, and Allen, you see to his wardrobe.
Both men bowed and turned to follow his instructions. Turning back towards Stavin, Aaron bowed.
Quarters have been arranged for your escort, Prince Stephen, if you will sit here,
he said as he placed his hands on the back of a chair.
I will see to your hair. It doesn't look like you need more than a quick trim, Your Highness.
Stavin nodded as he sat.
Prince Farkal's butler gave me a touch-up before we left Lux.
Aaron considered that for a moment, then began trimming Stavin's hair.
Who do you normally serve, Aaron?
Staven asked.
I was Lord Alan Kara's butler until he died 2 winters ago. Since then, Lady Serana has had me training butlers and valets for her grandsons. Alan and Orden are ready to be promoted to butler, but Mal and Dor have another year or so before they will be ready to be promoted to full valet.
Aaron had been trimming as he spoke, and now he moved around Staven one more time, inspecting him carefully.
Yes, I think that will do.
Staven was already dressed by the time Karvik emerged from the bathing room. Staven looked at him and asked,
Did you bring your clothes up?
Karvik nodded yes, so Staven continued. Dress uniform for you, then. I got the impression that Lady Serana has something planned for us. Staven looked at Aaron and grinned as he asked,
I'm right, aren't I?
Aaron bowed and replied,
Lady Serana indicated that she might be inviting a few members of Clan Zell Aniston to come visit tonight, Prince Staven.
10 spans later, Staven was being led through a receiving line that held every member of Clan Zell Aniston who resided close enough to attend. Fully 230 men, women, and children were there, and it was fortunate that the weather was warm. The estate garden was completely filled with people, and the walls were lined with servants. The first person Lady Serana introduced Staven to was her heir.
Prince Staven, please allow me to introduce my son, Arendar.
A man of about 50 bowed. Staven bowed in return.
Lord Arendar, I am pleased to meet you.
Lord Arendar smiled as he said,
I am honored to meet you, Prince Staven. Please allow me to introduce my daughter and heir, Marineva.
A tall woman with an ageless face stepped forward and bowed. She looked like a younger version of Lady Serana, with flaming auburn hair and bright green eyes.
Prince Staven,
she said as she looked down into his eyes.
It is Arendar be blessed.
She paused and stepped back as her hand came up to her mouth. She seemed to be fighting down some reaction, then spoke again.
Forgive me, Prince Staven. I've heard about your eyes, of course, but actually seeing them is quite a shock.
Staven smiled and bowed his head slightly.
I understand, Lady Marineva. It took nearly a year before I stopped being surprised when I looked in a mirror.
Turning to look at Lady Serana, Staven asked,
Do you name all of your children for the gods above?
Lady Serana laughed.
Only the firstborn, Prince Staven. That's confusing enough, but it's been our family tradition for almost as long as the family has existed. Given our family's fertility, we'd run out of names very quickly.
Staven smiled and bowed his head slightly, then turned back to Lady Marineva.
Please forgive the interruption, Lady Marineva. My adopted big sister, Marina, and my mother, Marinus, share your name in slightly different forms.
Indeed, her father said. If you wouldn't mind, I'm curious about who you were named after, if I'm not being too rude by asking.
Staven considered his answer carefully.
I am the third warrior in the Kel'Aniston line to bear the name Staven. War leader first, Staven Kaldar Kel'Aniston, gave his life during the 6th year after the revolt in Ferendia. Colonel Staven Dashan Kel'Aniston commanded a battalion of Ferendian royal guards after the empire fell.
Staven paused to give Lady Serana a lopsided grin.
I don't know if it's true, but the legend is that he was named for a place, not a person. The Broken Steve Inn, or Steve Inn, was supposedly where his parents met. He was their 13th child.
Lady Serana tittered while both Lord Arendar and Lady Marineva laughed loudly. Lady Marineva was smiling broadly at her grandmother as she asked,
Sounds like our family, doesn't it, Nana?
Indeed,
Lady Serana agreed with a laugh. Staven spent the evening meeting Clan Zell Aniston. He found them to be courteously curious for the most part. There were a few members of the family who got a little aggressive, but Lady Serana slapped those individuals down quite thoroughly. The night passed quickly, and soon the midnight bells were ringing. Lady Serana noticed that Stephen was drooping a little and called an end to the festivities.
"Family, friends, and the rest of you scoundrels," she said loudly. "Thank you all for joining us in honoring Prince Stephen's visit. Now go to bed."
There was scattered laughter throughout the garden as the revelers began to disperse. Lady Serana turned to Stephen and bowed slightly.
"Prince Stephen, I bid you a good night as well. I'm planning a late morning meal, so sleep as long as you wish."
Stephen bowed a little more deeply.
"On behalf of all my people, I thank you for your hospitality. Pleasant dreams."
With that, he turned away and headed toward his rooms. Karvik was, as always, at his side.
"Gods above, I'm glad that's over," Karvik muttered.
Stephen grunted his agreement.
"Nothing like being roasted out of bed before first light and then being kept up past midnight. I was falling asleep, standing up toward the end."
"I noticed,"
Karvik replied through a yawn.
"So did Lady Serana. I think that's why she sent us to bed."
When they made it up to the suite, they found Varric and his team on watch along with Karvik's team.
"Major Kel'Karin, we relieve you," Varric said when he saw Karvik. "We stand relieved," Karvik replied with a sigh. He patted Stavin's shoulder and said, "Good night, Steve. I'm going to the barracks tonight."
Stavin said, "Good night, Kar," and went to the suite. Aaron met him just inside the door.
"Let me help you, Prince Stephen."
Stephen nodded through another yawn and let Aaron help him out of his clothes. The bed was already turned down, and Stephen climbed into it with a sigh. The last thing he saw as sleep embraced him was Varric settling into a chair that he had placed in front of the door. Stephen drifted up out of a deep sleep and a dream of Shari to find Sergeant Zilfordan in the chair across the door.
"Good morning. Who late is it?"
Sergeant Zilfordan chuckled.
"Halfway to midday, Prince Stephen."
"Oh, gods above."
Stephen rolled out of bed and went to the necessary. When he returned, he found Aaron and his four assistants waiting.
"What shall we lay out for you, Prince Stephen?"
Aaron asked with a bow.
"The blue shirt and black pants. I think Lady Serana is taking me to the temples this morning. Is there anything else I should wear?"
Aaron thought for a moment, then examined Stephen's wardrobe.
"No, Prince Stephen, that is probably the best choice. Do you carry any amulets?"
"No, I honor Lady Sarin. As far as I know, there aren't any amulets associated with her worship. Is it important?"
Aaron let a quick smile cross his face.
"No, Prince Stephen. The only importance would be to wear them openly if you did. The gods above don't deny the worship of the lesser gods. They just demand that you follow your conscience."
Stephen nodded and started to get dressed. All five of the servants helped, and it only took a few moments before he was ready to go to the morning meal. As Stephen walked toward the door, he heard Aaron command,
"See to the room and Prince Stephen's wardrobe."
Then he followed Stephen out of the suite. Sergeant Zelfordan and his men formed up around Stephen as he went down the stairs. Stephen followed Aaron's directions to an elegant dining room and found Lady Serana and her immediate family still at the table. Everyone rose to their feet and bowed as Stephen entered. Stephen stopped and returned the bow deeply before joining them, taking the seat to Lady Serana's right hand.
"Did you sleep well, Prince Stephen?"
she asked. Stephen smiled and bowed his head.
"Very well, thank you. That bed is as good as I have at home. It's far superior to what I've become accustomed to on this trip."
Lady Marinova giggled.
"That bed was commissioned for Cousin Kira."
When Stephen gave her a puzzled look, she continued,
"Princess Alankira Vorisal Latana Ne Aniston Zelcarol of Renidia."
Stavin's eyebrows rose as he turned to find Lady Serana grinning at him.
"I've told you I've had royal guests before, Prince Stephen. Kira is my little brother Dahlgren's daughter."
Stavin smiled broadly as he bowed his head.
"So Clan Zell Aniston is as well connected here as we are at home. I'll have to discuss it with her when we go to Rhee."
Stavin turned toward Arryn and said,
"I'd like 2 eggs scrambled, crisp bacon, and fried tubers with onions, please."
Arryn bowed and backed away as he said,
"At once, Prince Stephen."
Turning back to Lady Serana, Stavin bowed his head slightly.
"He's very good at his job."
Lady Serana bowed her head in acknowledgement of the compliment.
"Arryn served my late husband for 40 years, Prince Stephen. When Alan Kara died, I tried to pension him out, but Arryn very politely but firmly refused. His wife is one of our maids and had died a few years before, Alan Kara, and he had no one else to turn to. His parents had been servants here as well, and he only had a few distant cousins outside the estate. He now trains our valets and butlers, and only serves the most exalted of our guests."
Lord Arendar caught Stavin's attention.
"You can tell the difference between the valleys Arryn teaches and those taught by others. There is a waiting list to become Arryn's apprentice. He only takes on 4 at a time, adding 2 when he passes 2 on to full butler status."
"And those butlers are highly prized, Prince Stephen,"
Lady Marinova said.
"A butler trained by Arryn Fel Aniston can fetch as much as 100 gold crowns.
Stavin held up his hand to stop her.
"I'm sorry, but it sounded like you just said you could buy a servant."
Lord Arendar chuckled.
"Not buy, Prince Stephen. Bribe."
He paused and shook his head.
"I don't know about Evandia, but here servants are paid and have a choice about who they serve. The payment is usually placed on account with the gold merchants to earn interest. Over a 40-year career, that sum can triple, letting them retire in comfort."
"Unless, of course, they don't wish to retire,"
Arryn said as he returned with Stavin's morning meal. He placed the plate in front of Stavin and asked,
"Would you like tea or kava, Prince Stephen?"
"Kava, please."
As Arryn turned away, Lady Marinova tilted her head to the side and said,
"You treat servants far more courteously than even we do, Prince Stephen."
Stavin nodded, then said,
"Thank you, Arryn,"
as the butler set a cup of kava on the table. Stavin looked at Lady Marinova and said,
"It's because of my upbringing."
He went on to tell the story of how he became the master of the Kelkarin family and the difficulties he'd had with it.
"The idea of telling Serena to do something rather than asking her was so foreign to me that I just couldn't do it."
"Kelkarin?" Lady Serana asked.
"The Major's family?"
"Yes, Lady Serana," Stavin confirmed.
"Another of the reasons I couldn't just order them around. He was my best friend. It's also why I gave everything back when the Council restored Barville's honor."
Stavin had been eating as he spoke, and Lady Serana noticed his empty plate.
"Would you care for anything else, Prince Stephen?"
Stavin shook his head.
"No, thank you, Lady Serana. You have an excellent cook."
Lady Serana nodded.
"Then I would like to take you to the temples. I am still disturbed by the reaction to you speaking that unfortunate name."
Stavin stood and bowed as Lady Serana and her heirs joined him. Lady Serana led the way, and Stavin spoke to Sergeant Zelfordan as he joined them.
"We are going to the temples of the gods above. Have everyone who's awake join us."
The sergeant bowed, then pointed at one of his men. That man immediately left while the rest of the team formed up around Stavin's party. They had barely reached the path to the gate before Karvig and his team joined them.
"Good morning, Prince Stephen. Did you sleep well?"
Stavin chuckled.
"Like a log, Kar. We're going to the temples, and I thought you'd want to join us."
"Absolutely," Karvik agreed. "I thought about waking Var, but he's only been asleep for a few spans."
Stavin nodded. We'll have to arrange something for his team later. Zari will never forgive him if he doesn't go to the temples. Stavin saw the curious looks they were receiving from their hosts and explained. Varric is my brother-in-law, Shari's little brother, but he married Karvik's little sister, Zarinis, so he's Karvik's brother-in-law as well. Zari has made a study of the old gods, above and below, as well as the younger gods like Lady Sarin. Varric is going to have to tell her all about the temples. It's a good thing he's a decent artist. He'll have to make detailed sketches of all 5 temples inside and out. Lady Serana looked at her son and asked, "Don't you have a friend who is studying something like that?" Lord Arendar nodded slowly. "Yes. Danav Zeltamal. The last I heard of him, he was teaching at the Royal Renidian University in Rhi." Turning to Stavin, he bowed his head. "I'll provide a letter of introduction, Prince Stavin. Dan can be difficult about discussing his passion with anyone who isn't one of his peers or students." The walk to the first temple was fairly short. It was the closest temple to the Zelaniston estate.
"Prince Stavin,"
Lady Serana said as soon as they reached the temple grounds,
"welcome to the Temple of Arendar the Bright."
Stavin walked forward, not noticing that everyone else had fallen back until he heard Karvik say, "Uh-oh, I've seen this before."
"Major?"
Lady Serana asked in a trembling voice.
"That's what he looks like when he picks up the sword of Zelhallan, but he's not in his armor this time."
Stavin didn't stop walking. He wasn't sure he could stop. He couldn't even look around when Karvik spoke. Something compelled him to keep going. A man in golden robes embroidered with the sunburst glyph of Arendar the Bright ran out of the temple and stopped, frozen where he stood as Stavin brushed past. Stavin entered the temple sanctuary and finally saw the light. Where there had been shadows, the light banished them. Where people had knelt in prayer with their faces in darkness, Stavin saw their faces illuminated and the light reflecting in their eyes. There was no altar in this temple. At the head of the temple, below a large cut-glass window made in the image of Arendar's sunburst, the glyph of Arendar was laid out in gold inset in granite. There were gasps of surprised outrage when Stavin continued walking to the center of the glyph and went to his knees, but Stavin ignored them. Stavin knelt and simply waited as he gazed up at the window. He was at peace with his fate, whatever it would be. Soon he felt a presence, but didn't fear it. Its tremendous power surrounded him, but at the same time he also felt something else, something warm and comforting. From somewhere deep in his mind came the memory. "I remember being a small child in the warm, powerful embrace of my father, and I knew I was safe from the world, and that I was loved." Stavin broke down and cried as something, some ancient pain deep inside, faded. In its place was a feeling of belonging, a feeling of purpose. "My entire life, everything I've gone through, all my trials and tribulations, have led up to this moment." Stavin stood up and wiped his face with his hands, then wiped his nose on his sleeve like a child. He almost chuckled. "Mum would smack me in the back of my head if she saw me do that, then give me a hard time about forgetting a handkerchief." Turning around, he found his hosts and his guardsmen gathered behind him. Standing slightly in front of the rest, with his arms crossed in front of his breastplate, and a look of long-suffering patience on his face, was Karvik Kalkarin. Karvik was the only one to speak as he asked,
"What did you do this time?"
Chapter 5. Later, back in the manor house of Lady Serana's estate, Stavin described what he had felt, and the impressions he'd gotten from Arendar's light. Lady Serana was as still as a statue through Stavin's full story, but finally spoke when he reached the end.
"What you are describing, Prince Stavin," she said softly, "is something only a few people have experienced in all our long history.
You did not just witness Arendar's light. You became part of it. If you are not who and what you are, you would now be the High Priest of Arendar.
Stavin's expression became rueful as he said, That would not go over well at home.
No, it wouldn't, Karvik agreed from where he stood by the door. But what was that taint on your soul all about?
Kar, you've known me longer than just about anyone, and you know me better than even Shari does. What was my greatest pain?
Karvik paused as he thought, then his head tilted to the side as he asked,
It went that far back.
Stavin nodded as his gaze fell.
That's what the evilest one touched.
That was the weakness in me that he could have exploited. That's where the pain was, like a festering wound.
Lady Serana leaned forward again and asked,
Would one of you please explain what you're talking about?
Stavin looked at Lady Serana and bowed his head.
When I was 10, I caught a fever that almost killed me. It did stop me from growing, but the worst, most hurtful thing happened a year later. A group of boys that I had bullied caught me, beat me, stripped me to the skin, and threw me into a snowdrift. And that shame made you susceptible to the evilest one,
Lady Marinova concluded. Stavin looked down and shook his head slowly as a small, bitter smile twisted his lips.
No, that wasn't the worst of it. The worst was that they said I was a runt who should be killed, so I wouldn't breed and weaken the line. And somewhere deep inside I agreed with them. That was the sole deep pain that the evilest one touched. My own uncertain belief that I really was a runt. But it was also responsible for a lot of what I did before our second expedition. It is why being called a coward always made me do stupid things.
Like going to the Dragon's Cave alone?
Karvik asked. Stavin nodded as he looked at his friend.
And asking for Davina to be my wife when I knew your dad would send me away. It was like a toothache, a pain that was always there, but it's gone now.
Lord Arendar sat forward in his chair and asked,
So how do you feel now?
In a fatherly tone.
Cleansed,
Stavin answered as he released a breath he hadn't been aware he was holding.
I almost feel like my spirit has had a long soak in the thermal pools back home in Kelcavan. It's like something that had made me dirty, unclean, has been soaked away.
Lord Arendar was nodding slowly.
When you get to Rhea on the Glimmer, you have to tell Darn all of this. He has long maintained that the gods above, and yes, the gods below as well, are deeply and actively involved in our lives. I would say that you, good cousin, are living proof of that.
Stavin stood and bowed to Lady Serana.
If you'll excuse me, I'd like to go lie down. For as short a day as it's been, it feels like it's been a long day.
Did I just say that out loud? Lady Serana stood and returned the bow.
Of course, Prince Stephen.
Lord Arendar and Lady Marinova both stood and bowed as well, but Stavin had already turned away. Karvik was, as always, at Stavin's side.
That must have taken a lot out of you.
Stavin didn't turn as he replied, And put a lot into me as well. Remember that paranoia you mentioned? It's gone now, but something else is in its place. It's as if I'd been given... I don't know how to describe it.
Stavin held his hands up at shoulder height in a helpless gesture.
It's not exactly a command, it's more like... You know how your mum just has to say she'd like you to do something, and you do it just because she'd like it? That's what I feel right now.
But what does Arendar want you to do?
Be happy. I know that sounds strange, but that's what I feel he wants.
Be happy, Karvik asked. That's it.
Stavin nodded.
Yes, that's what it felt like. Or maybe just stop being so angry all the time.
Now Karvik nodded as he looked down at Stavin.
That makes more sense. You've been mad at... Well, you've been mad at the whole world since you were 11.
Stephen nodded and looked up at Karvik.
Since the first time I agreed with Hana when he called me a runt.
They reached the suite and Karvik followed Stephen in. They found Aaron and his apprentices waiting on their knees with their heads bowed.
What are your needs, blessed one?
Aaron asked without looking up. Stephen chuckled and shook his head.
Back to this again? He asked Karvik with a grin. Aaron, I need you to continue doing as you have done. Yes, Arendar the Bright touched me, and I have been changed by that touch. But I am still just a man.
Yes, blessed Prince Stephen, how may we serve you?
Right now I need to lie down.
Of course, Prince Stephen,
Aaron said as he stood and stepped forward. The valets were seeing to the bed as Aaron helped Stephen out of his clothes. Stephen climbed into the bed and arranged his body comfortably, then began a set of deep breathing exercises. He wasn't planning to sleep, and he was certain that Karvik realized it. He was placing himself in a light, meditative trance so he could think about what had happened without being interrupted. Arendar's light was still changing him, still cleansing the darkness from his soul. He was aware of Aaron and the others moving around the room. He was aware of Karvik sitting by the door. It was some indefinable time later that he was brought out of his trance by shouting outside the manor.
Sara, please!
A woman's voice shouted.
No, Sovi!
Another woman's voice shouted back. Stephen opened his eyes and found Karvik with all five of the servants looking out the window.
The mayor?
He asked.
Karvik looked over his shoulder and grinned. You've missed most of it. Lady Serana won't let her in.
Stephen shook his head.
I'm surprised she waited this long to chase us down. Who is the highest born of your team, Eldik?
Karvik nodded and went to the door. Opening it, he said,
Private Zelkarin, step in here for a moment.
Eldik Zelkarin entered the suite and snapped to attention.
Sir!
Stephen said, Eldik, go down and tell Mayor Zell Tessel that I will see her tomorrow, and if she gets insistent, please feel free to fully introduce yourself.
Eldik grinned and said, Yes, Prince Stephen.
Then he bowed, turned away and marched out the door. Stephen hopped out of the bed and went to the window as Aaron and the rest tried to dress him. Stephen and Karvik chuckled as Eldik walked up to the mayor and spoke briefly. The mayor said something back, stamping her foot in anger. Eldik drew himself up to his full height and spoke again. The mayor shook her head and backed away, then turned and walked rapidly toward the gate.
Prince Stephen,
Aaron asked,
who is that young man?
Stephen grinned.
Eldik Zelkarin is the heir of Zelkarin in Avandia, and my cousin in an indirect way. He is the highest born of all my guardsmen.
Stephen walked to the door with Karvik at his side and went downstairs. Eldik met them halfway up.
Prince Stephen, Lady Sovana will return at mid-morning tomorrow, he said as he rejoined the team. Very well. I'm hungry. Is anyone else hungry?
Stephen asked.
You missed the midday meal, Steve. It's nearing evening.
Stephen looked at Karvik and said,
I really didn't intend to sleep.
I think you needed it, Karvik answered.
Perhaps,
Stephen agreed, then turned his attention to Lady Serana as he reached the ground floor.
Lady Serana, I heard that Mayor Zell Tessel was here. Yes, Prince Stephen. She was demanding that I bring you down to her like some common servant.
Stephen grinned and shook his head.
I heard the end of it. That's why I sent Private Zelkarin to send her away. His birthright is sufficient to intimidate most people.
Indeed,
Lady Serana said, as she looked toward Eldik for an instant.
The more so since Sovana's maiden name was Kel Aniston.
She chuckled at Stephen's expression.
Yes, she's another cousin, but her husband isn't an heir, third son. Now, what can I do for you?
Stephen's stomach growled in answer, and Lady Serana chuckled warmly.
This way, Prince Stephen.
It's a little early for the evening meal, but everything should be ready.
She led them back to the dining room where they'd had the morning meal, and Lady Serena spoke to the first servant she saw.
Go inform my son and granddaughter that we are eating early tonight.
The maid bowed deeply and all but ran from the room. Lady Serena patted the back of a chair and said,
Sit here, Prince Stephen, and I'll have the cook bring you a little snack until the others arrive.
Stephen said,
Thank you, Lady Serena,
as she walked away. Lady Serena returned a moment later, followed by an elderly woman carrying a bowl. The cook placed the bowl in front of Stephen, then stepped back and went to her knees with her head deeply bowed.
I hope this is to your liking, blessed one,
she said as she looked at the floor. Stephen tried the stew that filled the bowl and nodded in appreciation. It was thick with vegetables and grain, but tasted like fish. Turning to the woman, he said,
This is very good, thank you.
He had let his left hand come down a little, and the woman suddenly reached forward and grabbed it. Placing her forehead against the back of his hand, she said,
Thank you, blessed one.
Then she stood and hurried back to the kitchen. Stephen shook his head and said,
This is going to take some getting used to.
Karvik smiled slightly as he asked,
You're not going to fight it this time.
Stephen took another bite of the stew and shook his head.
No, that hurt is gone as well. I know who and what I am.
Lady Serena was looking curious, so Karvik explained while Stephen ate.
When we were pacifying Old Ferindia, people kept calling him the Dragon Blessed rather than Prince Stephen. He got a little testy about it.
Stephen nodded and spoke between bites.
I felt like they were calling me the Runt again. I wasn't a person, I was a thing, but no.
He smiled and shrugged.
No, I have no doubts about myself.
The servers began bringing out dishes, and Lady Serena motioned to the table.
Join us, Mijar.
Karvik looked startled for a moment, then bowed deeply and took the seat beside Lady Marinova.
Mijar, Lady Marinova said as she picked up her wine, you seem to have taken to these events remarkably well.
Karvik grinned and glanced at Stephen.
After 11 years at Prince Stephen's side, I've come to expect things like today, Lady Marinova.
How so?
Her father asked.
When he first took up the sword of Zelhallen, it was like seeing Arendar rise on the wrong side of the world. I thought he'd turned himself into a torch.
He gave Stephen a sour look.
It was a year later that we found out how close he'd come.
Karvik told the story of how Salar Zeljanvis had stolen Stephen's gauntlet and the sword, and how he died in agony, and saw both Lord Arendar and Lady Marinova's faces drain of colour.
When I saw Stephen light up today, I was half afraid I was going to watch him burn.
And yet you didn't try to interfere,
Lady Serena said softly.
Karvik shook his head. No, Lady Serena. I knew there was nothing I could do to save him from a god. But I've also come to trust Stephen's feet. If he was going to be taken like that, I don't think it would be by one of the gods above.
And I have already faced two of the gods below and survived.
Two? Lady Serena asked.
Yes, the evilest one and the god of storms.
Stephen grimaced at that memory.
I avoid the coast during that season now.
I've never had the misfortune of experiencing one of the god storms, but I hear it is quite terrifying,
Lord Arendar commented. Stephen and Karvik took turns telling that story.
The village was all but washed away by the storm, but a year later they had rebuilt. I looked into the tax records after I moved to the palace.
He smiled and shrugged.
The Minister of Trade has access to all kinds of information.
Chapter 6 The talk around the table turned to the doings in and around Aniston. As the Lady of Zelaniston, Lady Serena was mayor and council, and Lord Arendar was her assistant. Stephen found himself impressed by the depth of their knowledge of the area.
You seem to be aware of just about everything that goes on here, he commented.
We must be, Lord Arendar explained. All of Aniston, including a distance of 500 dragons around the valley, is our land.
Directly yours, Lord Arendar, Karvik asked. You aren't just lord of the area.
No, Major. Every bit of it belongs to us.
That's a truly impressive holding, Stavin said as he sat back. I can't think of any holding in Avandia that large, except the crown holdings north of Twin Bridges. The royal family maintains ownership of the peninsula for about 1,000 dragons north of the wall, but I think the actual area may be less than you hold, because the peninsula is wedge-shaped.
He paused and shook his head.
Caelan rents out the land to farmers who keep most of their crops. They pay a tenth part of their harvest as rent.
We've acquired more land over the years by buying out our neighbours, Lady Serana said, then giggled, or marrying the men, in a few instances.
And you've managed to keep it all.
But what do the younger children inherit? Stavin asked. We tend to produce a large percentage of people who are talented in business, design, the arts, and, of course, trade.
Lady Serana smiled at Stephen's surprised expression.
You are hardly unique in the family, Prince Stephen. There is a Zell Aniston trading house that has been in operation for more than 800 years.
Stephen looked stunned.
There is?
He asked.
Indeed, Lord Arendar confirmed. It's not a large house, not nearly as large as your house, Cal Aniston, but it's large enough to handle all our needs and a bit more. We all use House Zell Aniston to ship our goods. They make money, we save money, and it all stays in the family.
Stephen chuckled. I was going to ask about expanding House Cal Aniston into these lands, but I think I'll wait.
Turning toward Lady Serana, Stephen bowed his head and asked, Did Lady Savannah say what she wanted, Lady Serana?
She wants you to return to Zell Castle with her. I get the impression she's afraid that Del Horse Fool might have chased you away, or that I might have stolen you away, and a good deal of her prestige with you. I told you she is a cousin of yours, and I think she was planning on using that relationship to enhance her own reputation. And I am sure, Lady Marinova added, that she was going to do everything in her power to get you to stay much longer than you intended.
Stavin shook his head. Wouldn't have worked. As I said when we arrived, I had originally planned on 10 days in Zell Castle, and was able to add 2 days to visit here because I allowed 30 days to get to Rhee, and that is only supposed to be a 22-day trip.
And we always plan on 2 days' delay, Karvik continued. So we would have left after 14 days no matter what. There aren't many ways she could stop us without starting a war with Evandia, and probably Karivia as well, given his position there.
And King Alred would have had her executed for doing it, Lady Marinova stated. But she still would have tried something. If she could get you to keep the king waiting, it would prove her importance.
Stavin's mouth twisted into a sour grimace.
There's always one...
The next morning, a little earlier than intended, Lady Mayor Savannah Raylan Ordana nay Aniston Zeltessel of Zell Castle and her council approached Lady Serana and asked,
Will you let us see Prince Stephen now, Sarah?
Lady Serana smiled and said,
Prince Stephen is waiting for you in the library, Sovi.
Then turned to lead the way. Whatever Lady Savannah had been expecting, she wasn't expecting what she found. Karvik and his team were lined up behind Stavin in full dress kit. Worse was what Stavin had chosen to wear. Stavin was wearing a bright golden silk shirt and black pants, which was enough to set the visitors ill at ease after the story of Stavin's visit to Arendar's temple, but it was what he was wearing on his head that caused the most reaction. When Stavin had been Princess Marina's heir, King Caelan had commissioned a special coronet for him, and Stavin had brought it along to wear on formal occasions. golden dragon wings wrapped around Stephen's head and centered above his brow, picked out in diamond and ruby, were the four hollowed stars of a senior war master.
"Greetings, Mayor Zell Tessel. Cousin Serana has kindly allowed me to borrow her library for our meetings. Please be seated."
Stephen sat before the mayor or any of her counselors had reached their seats, which drew a few scowls of disapproval.
"Prince Stephen," the mayor began, "I had hoped to hold these meetings in the city council chambers, where we would have any relevant documentation close at hand."
Stephen gave her a bored look.
"I can hardly be blamed for your lack of preparation, Mayor Zell Tessel. Cousin Serana has made me welcome on her estate, and I have chosen to stay here for the duration of my visit. I am far more comfortable here than I have been at any of the royal inns we visited. Add in that the Royal Oak was severely damaged by the fire, and I have no reason to return to Zell Castle except to visit the museum."
Stephen didn't miss the tightening of the skin around the mayor's eyes and mouth.
"In addition," he continued, "there is the matter of the Temple of the Gods Above to consider. My brother-in-law is making a study of all five temples here, and I have chosen to indulge him."
The mayor took a deep breath and said,
"Cousin Stephen, please."
But Stephen interrupted her with a raised finger.
"I have not given you permission to address me in that manner, Mayor Zell Tessel. Do not do so again."
The mayor bowed her head deeply and said,
"I beg your forgiveness, Prince Stephen."
At his nod, she continued,
"Prince Stephen, it is our hope that we could negotiate an agreement."
Again, Stephen's raised finger stopped her.
"Any official negotiations must be held with the king's ministers."
The mayor swallowed her outrage at being interrupted again, and from the expression on her face, it must have been excessively bitter.
"Prince Stephen, the negotiations I am speaking of were to be a private matter between our Traders Guild and your House Calaniston."
"Oh, that," Stephen said with a dismissive gesture. "House Calaniston will not be competing with House Zell Aniston. I may establish something up in Rhee, but for this portion of Renidia, I don't see it as being sufficiently profitable."
Now three others, two men and a woman, wore bitter expressions.
"I will probably be returning to Zell Castle to visit the museum on our way out, but it will be for less than a day. Given the revelations that came with my visit to Arendar's temple, my original reason for going to the museum seems petty."
Stephen turned his attention to Master Scribe Fel Dansel and bowed in his seat.
"I was going to try and verify that all of your artifacts were in fact made by a dragon, but it really doesn't matter anymore."
Master Fel Dansel gave Stephen an arch look and asked,
"How so, Prince Stephen?"
Stephen shook his head and looked down, like he was ashamed.
"I was going to try and prove that some of your artifacts were not made by Dandar Shandreek, but that seems so terribly petty now. It was a mean-spirited thing to do, and I apologize to you, scribe to scribe, for even considering it."
Master Fel Dansel was all but glaring at Stephen for a moment, then quickly mastered her reaction.
"Prince Stephen, scribe to scribe, you would have failed. It's been done before."
She paused to smile at him briefly.
"Several hundred years ago, a young woman wore a ruby ring into the museum. The stone had been cut from an artifact, and the whole place lit up."
Stephen gave her a self-deprecating smile and bowed his head.
"We will get to see it all when I wear my armor into the exhibits."
Now an older man stood and bowed.
"Prince Stephen," he began,
and his voice was so deep it made Stephen sit up straighter in surprise.
"I am Master Trader Maldan Felcaston. If you will allow it, I would like to revisit the subject of trade in House Calaniston."
He ignored the furious glares of the rest of the council. Stephen nodded and said,
"Very well."
The trader bowed before speaking again.
"Prince Stephen, House Zell Aniston while it is a substantial house, is not large enough to handle all the commerce in the area. I personally trade in manufactured goods, but the price Hostel Aniston charges